Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this first day of July. It's Friday, July 1st, 2011. To all of our Canadian friends, happy Canada Day, 144th anniversary. My wife and I have seen a lot of the shining star of the North. Hope to see a lot more of it. A very, very pretty place. Lots of beautiful country.
Great ice fishing, too.
Oh, yeah.
I did a lot of ice fishing in Canada.
I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and the Voice Network with our simulcast partners in Douglas and Globe. Of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at BuckmasterShow.com, where we have shows archived for your 24/7 listening. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, it's Friday Focus, featuring a newsmaker interview. Then at the bottom of the hour, our Friday Radio Reporters Roundtable. Then we'll close out the show with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Today's Friday Focus newsmaker is Republican State Senator Frank Antonori, who represents District 30 in the state legislature. Joining me in our conversation with Senator Antonori, Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Senator, we are delighted to have you with us. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
And we want to remind all of the Buckmaster Show, and thanks to you, Dan, as well. Yep. Want to remind all the Buckmaster Show listeners that Frank Antonori would be delighted to hear from you. Take your question or comment. That number is 790-2040, 790-2040. Frank, it is a very powerful station. You said you were driving up north and were listening to KVOI quite a ways up.
Yeah, I had we had a forest fire committee hearing yesterday up in Sholo to discuss the impacts of the fires in southern Arizona, not just the Willow Fire, but also the Monument Fire, the Horseshoe Fire, and several others. And on my drive up there early in the morning, I listened to the station pretty much all the way into Sholo. So it's got some juice.
We've got some juice. We've been hearing from folks all the way from downtown Phoenix, all the way over to New Mexico. The large reach, the big reach of the Buckmaster Show. Frank Antonori, let's begin with the big news of the day in the Pima GOP, the Republican Party. Pretty much the executive board has, I guess for want of a better word, put a muzzle on Chairman Brian Miller, who was my guest on Monday and was speaking quite candidly about he is definitely wants to stay on. But that might have been one of the last interviews Brian will be giving.
Well, he's still the chairman of the party. There's some issues with regards to trying to define his role. And I think, you know, there was an attempt to try to explain to Mr. Miller that policy is best left to the candidates and the elected officials and the party as a whole, the committee. And he continued to decide to make statements on his own. And the executive committee said, hey, and they've asked him nicely a couple of times, hey, you got to, you know, stick to the platform and let elected officials and candidates make these policy statements. And he just didn't want to quite do that, and he didn't understand the role. So they've tried to basically, you know, tell him that this is your role, and if you don't, then we're going to, you know, reel you in a little bit. And that's basically what happened yesterday.
One quick follow-up before I throw it over to Dan Scheer. Was there one incident that some people would point to, the SWAT team shooting and some of the things Mr. Miller said in an email, or were there other things?
Yeah, there were other things. It started before that. I think that was, unfortunately, the icing on the cake that put it over the top. There had been previous episodes where people had voiced concerns that he was making statements without consulting the executive committee or the elected officials or candidates that some of these statements impacted. And this was, you know, the Guarinius shooting, I guess, was just another incident that just kind of put the issue over the top. And that was some of the stuff. They issued a statement. There were other issues as well that the executive committee pointed out that I wasn't fully aware of, other things. And so they're going to try to fix that, and, you know, they'll deal with it, and we'll see what happens.
Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Yeah, Frank, Congressional District 8, particularly since the two photos were released, have been talking about Gabrielle Giffords and her future. And in Green Valley, this is really being played out as people are now going back and forth on whether she should stay in office or resign. What do you think?
Well, you know, she is the lawfully elected representative of the district. And if you're familiar with the Constitution, there's really only three ways for a seat to become vacant. One is through the death of the individual. Two is through the resignation. And three is through a vote of the Congress to remove them, which none of which I don't think are going to happen. So it's really up to Gabby. I don't have any heartburn with her being in office. It would be nice, obviously, an elected official has, and like I did yesterday, in a committee hearing, I can speak and you know, have in committee my voice representing the 233,000 people of District 30 when I speak. You know, that is missing from District 8 in these committee hearings up in Washington, and with floor speeches and comments on the floor, it would be nice to have one up there. But, you know, she's recovering from a traumatic injury that I'm familiar with in my experience. And I think she should be given the chance, and let's see how well she recovers. And if she's able to recover to the point where she can fulfill her duties, then so be it.
You think we're going to see the pressure grow though as we near the filing date next year?
I don't think so. I think the pressure will come more from the Democrat side than it will from the Republican side. You know, we will gear up to run against the Democratic candidate, whoever that candidate may be. I think I've been hearing on the. From the Democrats, a lot of them a little upset that they think that there's an effort to keep her in office and not allow certain potential Democrat candidates to gear up a campaign. And they're feeling that if she waits too long, it's going to hamstring their efforts to put a viable campaign together. It's not going to hamstring our efforts. We're going to run candidates. We will have the ability to raise money whether or not she's in office or not. There will be somebody fielded against her. The Democrats, however, if at the last minute, like I saw in one statement, she waits until May of next year, then that's going to really hamper, because the primary is going to be in August. And that's only a couple months to put a campaign together, and it'll really hurt a Democrat candidate.
Well, it's a little early, but are you going to be that candidate?
You know, I'll be honest, Bill. I'm looking at it, or Dan.
I was going to ask you that too, so you can address me on that one too.
The district right now as it sits is not going to be the district that is going to be in the 2012 election. So, you know, it's really premature for anybody in any race anywhere to start throwing their hat in the race without knowing where these districts are going to be drawn. And there's a lot with regards to whether, you know, District 8 or District 9 or wherever the new district is, and the demographics of that district that are going to go into whether or not I decide to run. So I'll just wait and see.
790-2040, 790-2040, Frank Antonori, State Senator, District 30, is with us. And let's go now to a caller to the Buckmaster Show, a question about Gabby Giffords for Senator Antonori. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Micah. Thanks for taking my call, Frank. I've got a question. You know, whether Gabby stays or not, I think it's a little hypocritical for her office to say that whether she's in office or not, no votes would have changed. One thing they've always mentioned about Gabby was that she always had an open mind about things, and she was a moderate. So for what kind of explanation can they have for her no votes would be changed when they don't know whether she would have voted one way or the other, or they make the assumption that she's just going through the motion saying that, and us not being represented by her.
Well, her staff.
Thank you, Mike, for the question.
Yeah, appreciate it, Mike. The staff really doesn't have any say in that, and that may be a little presumptive on themselves to make such comments. You know, like I said, there's been precedent in the past where elected officials, senators, and representatives have been incapacitated for a period of time, and they've been granted the leeway to recover and resume their role in office, and that I think that's only fair. If she's able to recover and run and seek election and be reelected, then good for her. But to have comments coming out from her staff that, you know, it wouldn't matter, her vote wouldn't matter, that's baloney, I think. And most people would agree, if particularly you're in CD8, that they would rather have a voice and a vote on the floor of the Congress than somebody in the staff saying, well, it would have went this way anyways, or it would have went that way. I think that is presumptive on them, because no one really knows how you vote. And I have literally, to the last minute on the floor of the Senate, changed my vote because of some speeches that were made or somebody, you know, and I've changed my mind several times at the last
because
minute.
Something was
yeah,
said.
Yeah, because
the
something
last
was said. So you don't know. You can't say how a member is going to vote. There's a lot of things that go into making a decision before you push that button. And literally it could come down to a floor speech by another member at the last minute that changes your mind.
Well, a vote is important, Frank. But
sure.
What I'm hearing out of Green Valley is that compassion is important too, and that if we were to start putting some pressure on her to resign, that it might say more about us than it does about her.
Well, again, like I said, Dan, I've got close friends that have suffered very traumatic brain injuries from combat. One is a guy named Gil Magallanes, who was one of the first guys injured in Afghanistan that lost a large portion of his brain from a large fragment from a bomb. And Gil is fine now. And I had dinner with him up in Scottsdale a couple months ago, and you would not know that he had a large portion of his brain removed. And he's got a big plate back there, and he's got issues. Don't get me wrong. He's not 100%.
But it took time.
Yeah, it took him a couple years. But he's like 95% of the old Gil Magalanes that I knew. He's got, you know, headache issues and vision issues and hearing issues that he's dealing with. But, I mean, he's still good old Gil. And it takes time. But, you know, I'm willing, and I don't know if most people are, is to give her the opportunity to have a viable recovery period. And it, after that viable recovery period, then I think it's time to have that discussion. But I think it's way too early right now.
It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We are going to take a break here. We will be back with Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun and State Senator Frank Antonori. That continues with the Buckmaster Show after these important messages from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Well, 19 on the Buckmaster Show on this first day of July. We are delighted that you are along with us. 790-2040 for State Senator Frank Antonori, 790-2040. Senator Antonori representing District 30. Dan Scheer is with me from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and we're going to pick it up with Dan. I think you've got a question about economics for the Senator.
Yeah, sure do. Last week, the Tucson Weekly did an interesting story on poverty focused on Pima County and Tucson in particular. Bad news. They said that there's been no real increase in earnings in Pima County in 39 years, and that we've that Tucson has surpassed El Paso as the poorest major city in the Sun Belt. What's going on, and what can we do about this?
Well, I got to attribute it to the anti-growth policies of the politicians down here, and it has hurt us. We don't have the transportation infrastructure down here, so when businesses are looking, you know, like they do at the Phoenix area, you have the beltways out there, you have the loops, the 101, the 202, and you have the ability to have rapid access to hotels and other infrastructure, airports and whatnot, and we don't have it here. The Tucson airport just isn't as big and bringing in the direct flights as the Phoenix airport, so we've got to have a pro-growth attitude, and the tax rates are too high down here. We have the highest property taxes in the state of Arizona in Pima County. We have the crummiest services, I would argue, and I think people are saying, well, if I won't mind paying taxes if I get the services in return, and they're just not seeing it compared to what you see in other counties in the state. And not only that, you also have an incorporation problem where, you know, the vast majority of Pima County is unincorporated and not inside a municipal boundary, and that helps us, or hurts us rather, with regard to state shared revenue and money coming into the southern part of the state. And there's been an anti-incorporation attitude in southern Arizona because the cities that are here now, particularly Tucson, do not want the competition, and they've stifled incorporation.
But what about education? No matter how you twist the numbers, Arizona ranks poorly in teacher pay, money going into the classroom, the results we're seeing. Sometimes there are jobs out there. We just don't have the people who are qualified for them.
And I'm not going to disagree with that, but you know, you got to do a little comparison there. You know, the cost of living here in Arizona, you can't compare teacher salary in Arizona to teacher salary in Washington, D.C. or New York City. There's some significant cost of living differences and whatnot. And a lot of these comparisons I see are dollar-to-dollar comparisons, and you got to adjust for cost of living and the environment that you're living in. But the problem with school funding is we have the crappiest school funding formula. That equalization formula is garbage. It literally screws over school districts that are doing a good job. It rewards school districts that are not doing a good job. And you see that particularly in my district between Vail and TUSD. Vail gets $2,000 less per kid than TUSD does. So we've got to fix the funding formula, and we got to base it on local taxes and not having such a heavy state and federal subsidy, but making it a local property tax and having that, because that puts accountability on the school boards, because it's local taxes and local school boards.
And caller Bill wants to pick up on the education funding issue. Go ahead, Bill. You're with State Senator Frank Antonori.
Good afternoon, Senator. Listening to the back and forth on this subject, one of the things that keeps coming back to me is you hear about when high school graduates get to college, how much money is actually spent for remedial training. Is it possible to break down by school district how much money is spent, say at U of A, ASU, NAU, retraining some of these students that have supposedly graduated from these wonderful school districts?
That data is out there. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I know the community colleges and the universities do keep track of what district and how much remediation went into prepping those students for university courses. So I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I could probably have somebody research it for me. But that data is tracked, and it is notable because I know the chancellor for the Pima Community College and
Dr. Flores,
right, has been briefing that data because his college does a lot of that. I think it's like 30 some percent of the kids that go to
they
Pima
really
College
yeah.
are going to get remediation to prep them to go into U of A or an ASU. So the community colleges do a lot of that remediation, but a lot of those fixes have to happen in the public school system. And I think I would love to see Superintendent Hoopenthal do some major reforms, and we've got to redo it. We got to restructure the way the school districts are funded. Again, we have the fourth lowest residential property tax in the country, but one of the highest business property taxes. We have to equalize our tax base across the board. If people want good schools, if people want to fund them, they've got to be willing to fund them. And we got to change the funding formula and make a metric that's based on performance and outcome, not just funding, we got these disadvantages, let's just give us more money because we have all these problems. No. You have to fund them based on outcome. If you started showing school districts that the better production and the better outcome of the student will result in additional funding, just like you do in every business. If you're a crappy business, the crappier you do, you don't get more money. You get less. The better you do as a business, the more money you make. If you're trying to format that based on performance, I think you'd see a big change in public sentiment for wanting to fund public schools. Because right now, a lot of people, I hear it, you know, why should I pour money into a failing school district? It's just throwing money after bad.
But from this report, look specifically at Tucson, where you have almost a fourth of the people living under the poverty level. And you have people here who it's almost like Tucson is a microcosm of what the United States is becoming, and that is the disappearing middle class. You have the retirees, is what it said, and then you have the service industry that serves the retirees. This is scary.
And that all comes back to tax policy, Dan, because what you have done is you've taken everything that deals with manufacturing and created such a tax burden on those. Those industries are heavy capitalized. They got a lot of equipment. They take up a lot of real estate. You have to have factories. You have to have a lot of personal business property. And we penalize them. So what the tax policy in this state does is it lends itself to a service-based industry, and it basically punishes any manufacturing-based industry and chases them either to another state or another country. So, yeah, we're chasing those jobs overseas because our tax policy is just not conducive. If we change the tax policy in this country and in this state to encourage manufacturing and bring those manufacturing jobs back, and basically told companies, if you build in Arizona, that you will share a similar tax burden as every other business, not an excessive tax burden like they have now, then I think we would create those jobs and bring those middle-wage, middle-class jobs back to Arizona. But we haven't done that. And we have fought for that, the legislature, and we've run into resistance at every step of the way trying to get rid of that crappy tax, that personal business property tax, which is inhibiting those jobs.
But how can manufacturing help rebuild the middle class when you've got people in China who are earning 30 cents an hour? Those jobs are not going to come back here.
Well, again, that comes back to the policies of the federal government. I mean, Donald Trump made the comment the other day, you know, here the Chinese are denying access to American products to the Chinese market, but the federal government just lets Chinese products pour into the United States. I believe, like he did in some regards, we got to lay the line down on the true definition of fair trade and say, if you're going to deny your access, then we're going to deny your access. Put tariffs on it, and I think you can offset that. We have poor trade policies at the federal level right now. We have crummy tax policy at the state and federal level, and that is what's resulting in this problem that we have. And we've got to address that. Nobody has the guts to stand up there and say, you know, this wacky progressive tax system, and that's what it is, punishes progress and rewards lack of progress. And we've got to flip that. We've got to get to a policy that rewards progress and punishes lack of progress, and we haven't done that.
Do you think we will see some more cutting for the – will the universities take some more hits, do you think?
Well, we've stabilized the budget in the state. I do not see any major reductions to any of the universities in the next cycle because we're just basically going to hold the line. And I think, you know, this budget that you've seen this year will probably be similar in the next couple years, minor adjustments here and there, but it's not going to be significant change. We're just going to try to hold the line on spending, and we're also going to hold the line on reductions as well and try to ride through this recession and try to get some job growth back here.
Dan, a final quick question for State Senator Frank Antonori. Got about less than 2 minutes to go. Dan Scheer.
Prop 13, what do you think? They're trying to get it back on the ballot.
Property tax.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't know enough about, you know, the impact economically that's going to have. What the frustration is here is, you know, if you base it on a fixed tax rate based on the purchase price of a home. And I think that's the valid point. You buy a house, X number of dollars, you should pay that tax from that point on. I don't even have any heartburn. But I've also heard there's demographic issues that people will be reluctant to sell their home, and there will be a whole bunch of other problems. So I really believe we need property tax reform in this state. I don't know if Prop 13 – I don't think Prop 13 is the answer to that. I would like to see a flat across the board assessment and put limits on the ability of governments to adjust the value as they see fit to make up the differential like you've seen. But that's part of what Prop 13 wants. And I think there's other ways to do it without doing it through that proposition.
If Arizona's clean elections law goes to the voters in 2012, will it be turned down?
Yeah, I think it will. I think you're going to see the voters overwhelmingly say that welfare for politicians needs to end.
So you think that's pretty much where we're sunsetting the Arizona
clean election? Yeah, the Supreme Court obviously ruled on the matching funds piece. I think when you see the question put back before the voters that clean elections, and most people would agree, and I've even heard Jim Nitzel say this, that it was a big mistake because it's polarized the legislature. It's taken away the sounding board for the business community to vet candidates and other organizations to vet candidates, and having that pot of money to just run anybody you want is what results in some of these polar differences.
Going to have to go. Frank Antonori, thank you very much. What about your book? Where is it available? I understand at Costco.
Yeah. Costco's carrying it now. But
give us the name of the book.
It's called Roughneck 9-1, The Extraordinary Story of a Special Forces A-Team at War. And you can get it on Amazon.com. Just you can look up Frank Antonori or you can look up Roughneck 9-1 and you can find it there.
It's a good read. I think you've sold 80 to almost 100,000 copies.
Yeah, we've sold over 80,000 so far. We're pushing for that magic $100,000, 100,000 copy mark, man. So we're up
there. Wish 100,000.
Yeah.
Frank, thanks a lot. Thanks. Dan Scheer, stick around. We've got the Reporters Roundtable coming up. This is the Buckmaster Show for Friday, July the 1st.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Leon Panetta is now the nation's Secretary of Defense, took the oath of office this morning in a private ceremony. Democrats and Republicans in Minnesota busy blaming each other for the shutdown of the state government. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn is proposing canceling raises for thousands of state employees to help cope with the state's budget crisis. Former International Monetary Fund Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn is free from house arrest, but he still faces sexual assault charges. New York judge freed him after prosecutors said a background investigation of his accuser turned up a number of problems. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 160 points, the Nasdaq ahead 40, and the S&P trading 18 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthrop along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
$20 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show on this July 1st, Canada Day, celebrating its 144th anniversary. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan stays over from the interview we just conducted with State Senator Frank Antonori. Dylan, good to see you.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. 2 weeks in a row, it's getting to be almost a habit.
A good habit.
Yeah, good habit. You have a piece on TucsonSentinel.com that you posted this morning concerning this dust-up in the Pima County Republican Party. I'll read the first couple of sentences. You say Brian Miller may still be the chairman of the Pima GOP, but he's without the keys to his kingdom or a checkbook, and the party has ordered him not to speak in public. So, Dylan, I guess my interview with Mr. Miller on Monday here on the Buckmaster Show might have been one of his last public appearances.
Well, they ordered him not to speak for the party. He's not exactly staying mum this morning. He posted a rather lengthy explanation of his side of what went on last night on Facebook and gave me a good long interview this morning. So he's not exactly taking it wholeheartedly that he needs to shut his mouth.
What can they do to get him to step aside? They being the there were what a dozen. The vote was 10-2. This is the Pima County like governing board.
The executive committee of the Republican Party basically asked him numerous times to resign last night. He refused, and they voted to basically kick him out of the office and not let him back in. In fact, I guess they changed the locks. That's what Brian told me this morning. But it's to actually fire him as chairman, it's going to take a vote of all the precinct committee men, and I guess there's about 330 in the county, and it takes a two-thirds vote to fire him.
Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News. What do you think about this?
Well, I got a question for Dylan. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, basically they've told him, please go away, and he's not.
Well, it's really there's sort of a divide, pretty much a three-way split now developing the Republican Party. You've got the old school country club Republicans and the Tea Party Republicans. We're pretty familiar with that split. But Brian Miller seems to have a certain faction of the party that still backs him, even though there are members of the executive committee who don't like the fact that he's been outspoken. There are others who appreciate the fact that he's bringing up new topics and trying to find a new way for the Republican Party to find their way forward.
And I spoke to a precinct committeeman this morning in Green Valley who said, yeah, absolutely, we support him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I can tell you the Democrats are enjoying it.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah. So, Dylan, what was it this email that Mr. Miller, he was critical, he sent out an email, he was critical of the police tactics in the May 5th SWAT raid that killed that ex-Marine. Was this what really did it, or Frank Antonori was saying earlier on the show here that there were other incidents?
Well, there have been other issues. That was sort of the culmination of a certain sort of dissatisfaction with what Brian Miller's been doing, the fact that he essentially put a lot of other Republicans on the spot by saying that, and they had to respond to an issue that they really didn't want raised, which was Republicans tend to be the party of law and order and also the party of limited government. There was sort of a clash between those two principles, and Miller chose one side, a lot of other Republicans chose the other side. But when he was running for Congress, Miller was pushing a great deal that we need to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And, a year and a half ago, there were a lot of Republicans who didn't exactly agree with that. Of course, these days they seem to have changed their mind on that.
Any names you're hearing that would succeed him?
I haven't heard anything about that yet. There was one other issue that rubbed people the wrong way. Immediately after the January 8th shooting, a law was enacted on an emergency basis to ban demonstrations at funerals, and Miller said that that wasn't a good idea, that abridging people's free speech in any way is a sort of slippery slope for us.
So, Dylan, it sounds like what you're saying is that Brian Miller is not good at playing politics.
Well, he told me this morning that essentially the complaint that some people on the executive committee had is that he's not a team player.
Okay, we'll see how it all plays out. I think Frank Antonori was telling us that July 16th there's going to be perhaps a vote at that point. But in order to get rid of Mr. Miller, they would actually have to change the bylaws, something
well,
like that?
They can either change the bylaws or have this vote whereby the Republican, the entire Republican committee, which is the precinct committeeman, would vote him out.
Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. About 12:40 on the Buckmaster Show. If you haven't like to make a comment or a question, 790-2040. Dan Scheer, let's turn now to the Rosemont situation. There was a big front page kind of before and what might look like after photo on the front page of the Arizona Daily Star about Forest Service foreseeing a huge scenic impact over Rosemont's projected life. So what's the latest on this controversy?
Well, yesterday the county joined Fish and Game and the Army Corps of Engineers in asking the Forest Service for more time to review the draft environmental impact statement. They have 30 days, and as we know, because it's been leaked, it's that statement is highly favorable to Rosemont. So the county is saying, well, look, we need more time to go through this because there are omissions and errors in the report, and the Game and Fish has already been told by the Forest Service, I'm sorry, you're not going to get any more time. The more interesting thing about the memo from the county yesterday is that there is a very big hint there that it'll all end up in court. We all expected that anyway, but basically they're saying, look, you're not going to listen to us, but you will listen to the lawyers.
You know, Dylan, I wonder if this is really – if anybody's mind is not made up on this issue at this point. What do you think?
Well, you know, personally, I'm up in the air.
Are you?
Okay. Well, you know, yeah. There are decent arguments on both sides. It just depends on whether you choose to – you know, do you want to protect this pristine environmental area or do you think jobs are more important?
But you have said before, Dan, that pretty much – at least in Green Valley, you feel that the line is pretty much drawn.
It is, and there's a lot of people who are opposed to this. But when Rosemont and the county both brought their mine models through a few weeks ago, we had a lot more people come through the office who really were not decided yet. So we'll see. And it's very interesting about those photos that were on the cover of the Star today. We live with far, far worse than that every day in Green Valley. And that doesn't mean that it's okay, but I'm saying that we live it. We are looking at those mine tailings, and they don't have nearly as much vegetation on them. They don't look nearly as nice. To see it happen on the other side of the Santa Rita's would be awful. Even Rosemont grants that. But it is the reality, and I think that there were very honest photos today.
For a second time in a week, Dylan, the hackers have gained access to the computers of the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Dylan, how big a deal is this hacking incident?
Well, in one way, it's a big deal because it may affect the safety of police officers. And another way, it's not so much a big deal because the actual information that has been leaked is, for the most part, pretty mundane. This was actually last night was the third leak in a week, and last night's hack was into some email accounts from the Fraternal Order of Police, one of the police unions in the state. And a lot of what was leaked involved local officers, their emails, and some files that they had stored in their email. I'm not aware that any actual department computers, either any Arizona Police Departments or DPS computer systems themselves, have been hacked. It seems to all be coming out of people's emails where they've got, a lot of these people have had some pretty bad passwords. You know, it should be that's something, a lesson that people should be taking away from this. In the original leak, somebody had a password that was 1234.
Oh my goodness!
And one of the I won't say who, but in one of the police email accounts leaked last night, the password was Barney F.
Oh.
Barney Fife.
Okay, 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer, what do you think of the Arizona's version of Prop 13, this initiative drive that's underway to cap what homeowners and others can be forced to pay in property taxes. Well, do you think this thing has any legs?
You know, it's not gotten on the ballot the last two tries, so they need 260,000 signatures within the next year to get it on the 2012 ballot. We'll see what happens. If you were to boil it all down, the argument for it is that people are afraid that people will be taxed out of their homes. The argument against is that it'll wreak havoc with the government, which relies on that revenue. So Frank was very interesting what he was saying, that there's just a lot of different angles to this thing, and people really need to dig in and know what they're voting on if it does get on the ballot. It's very technical. Most people have no idea how much they pay in property taxes, and they frankly don't know what they're talking about. So if it gets on the ballot, or before you sign to get it on the ballot, you really need to study this one.
The prime example to look at is what's happened in California over the past 30 years with their limits on property taxes and the way it's really hamstrung governments and their ability to accomplish things. One of the major reasons the state of California is in such straits is because so many responsibilities are put on the state instead of on local governments, because local governments are so limited in their ability to actually have any money to do anything at all.
Yeah, I can't believe it. 1978 mm-hmm. for Prop 13. I actually remember that and was in the news business. What does that say about me? I guess I've been around a long time. That's what it says, right, Dylan and Dan?
Well, I was watching the news then.
Okay, so you guys are watching it. Clean elections. The week started on Monday with the big story from the Supreme Court. It was a 5-4 decision on clean elections. Will this put the drive the stake into the heart of the clean elections law, Dylan Smith?
I think it certainly will make it more difficult for a candidate to run as a clean candidate, not being able to get extra money if somebody's spending more than you, being limited to a certain set amount when you set out is probably not all that appealing to many candidates. The decision didn't totally kill the clean election system. The initial pot of money is there for any candidate who wants to accept the spending limits. But the fact that somebody can go and outspend you 10-1 is a bit of an impediment.
And the most depressing thing for me about this clean elections ruling this week is that it's just another reminder that elections are all about money. And unfortunately, we have a lot of very ill-informed people who are heading out to the polls, and they vote for the person with the most signs, and that's the person with the most money. So it's a real simplistic way of looking at it, but I think that this is a reminder for us, again, to study the candidates, know the issues before you go to the polls. But the fact is, most of the people who are voting don't do that.
Gabrielle Giffords made her first public appearance in Houston at a NASA awards dinner. And Dan Scheer, we talked a little bit about this with Frank Antonori. It is a big question out there that folks are asking. I mean, what is Gabrielle Giffords' political future? Is she going to run or whatever?
Well, even bringing up this issue in Green Valley gets a lot of people upset, and that's because there are a lot of emotional ties to her. The reality is she's not in there, she's not voting, and that potentially does hurt us. But I think most people that I've talked to, at least, are behind her. Or, and Frank said this off the air, a special election makes no sense at this point. You get someone in there, they'd be there for a very short time. You have the disruption to constituent services because you have potentially a new staff in there. We all need to be patient, frankly. And that's not to minimize the importance of a vote in Congress. But at this point, especially as each month passes, it just makes no sense to really pressure them for a resignation.
There hasn't been any real serious groundswell of support for any way of removing her from office. And really, there is no way unless she feels like resigning. But there was an online petition that gathered maybe a couple of hundred signatures, versus the thousands and tens of thousands on petitions of support. So there are, a few people out there raising some, good points about the effect that her being out of office for an extended period might have on District 8, but really, it's not going to go anywhere.
No, if she were a senator, it'd be a very different story, and she'd just been elected to a six-year term. But I think for the 2 years, people are going to wait, I think, for the most part.
But people continue to talk about it, certainly, don't they?
They do, and but as I was saying off the air, the there are a lot of Republicans who are saying to me, "Hey, we're glad she's not there, not voting. Keep her there because it's with her not voting, that's good for us." And there are a lot more people who believe that than will ever let on, but it's the truth.
Well, certainly, the people of Southern Arizona have been patient in the past. When Mo Udall was incapacitated, he went 4 months before he resigned.
That's correct. Good point. Good historical reference there. Quickly, Dylan, anything on TUSD, the appeal, I guess, on the ethnic studies decision from the appeal be made to school superintendent Hoopenthal? Is this going to give TUSD by them maybe a little more time?
I think this is going to probably play itself out in the courts for a good long while, I think. It's a huge pot of money that's at risk, and there certainly seems to be a good deal of political support still for the ethnic studies programs. So I can't see TUSD just up and axing them.
And Dan, I'm going to throw you a curve. Any incorporation talk? It always seems to come up in Green Valley. Every time I have you on the program, I always ask you about, is Green Valley going to become a city?
No, I think not anytime soon. There aren't people talking about it. And I think it's come up four times and has gone down in flames. Not going to happen.
Four times over, what, the last 15 years?
Probably about that, yeah.
Okay, Dan Scheer, Dylan Smith, thank you very much. Hope both of you have a great 4th of July weekend.
And you as well, and everybody else out there.
Thank you very much. We'll find out what's going on with Weekend Watch this weekend. Big 4th of July weekend. Stay with us. Matt Russell is next on The Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
/12:54 on the Buckmaster Show, and that music always signals the weekend has officially begun in Southern Arizona as Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, bringing in Tucson publicist and dedicated foodie Matt Russell. And Matt, welcome back to Tucson. I understand you actually slept on the floor at the Denver airport last night. You missed your flight from Aspen because you were eating at a very fine restaurant, and the little puddle jumper from Aspen to Denver, you missed it, and there wasn't another flight.
I think I exceeded the weight requirements after my eating across Aspen, but indeed, gate B36 at Denver International Airport was where I laid my head down for the evening. I'm going on about 30 hours without sleep, and Rose, your producer, said, I think our bumper music is going to get you awake this afternoon, and it certainly did the trick, Bill.
What happened? You just missed a flight?
Yeah, there was some weather in Denver which basically kept us grounded in Aspen. I was there for the Ideas Festival last week, and we just were not able to get out of Aspen. And by the time I got to Denver, my connecting flight to Tucson had already left. So I know more about the inside of the Denver International Airport, Bill, than anybody on this planet, I can guarantee you.
Is it true that one of the ideas at the Idea Festival was always make sure you've got a flight home?
That's right. I will have to think about that next time in my planning.
Hey, are you doing any planning? I know you're going to get some sleep probably right after the Buckmaster Show, but what about planning for the weekend?
Absolutely. Tonight kicks off this great historic July 4th weekend. Friday Night Live tonight at St. Philip's Plaza on the corner of River and Campbell is a great patriotic edition of this great event, with clowns and patriotic-themed cupcakes and chalk art, activities in the courtyard, local merchants doing what they do best. It's a free event, Bill, from 4:30 to 7:30 today. Of course, if you want to have something to eat and something to drink at one of the many great places there at St. Philip's, that's going to cost. But it's a great way to kick off this Independence Day weekend, Friday Night Live at St. Philip's Plaza.
And I'll give our listeners another reason to celebrate today, tonight, not having to worry or wait till the 4th of July, because today is Canada Day, July 1. It's the 144th anniversary of Canada, so you can go out there and celebrate the shining star of the North.
Absolutely. I heard you say earlier in the show that you and your wife have trekked across Canada several times. I've only been to Vancouver before, but I would love to see that part of the countryside. Just beautiful.
And late August, we will be visiting the farthest reaches of Canada, as we'll be up in Newfoundland. That will be good, however it is pronounced. Newfoundland. Anyway, what else is going on? Saturday, Sunday, Monday?
I'm going to give your listeners Saturday off, because they're going to need to get their rest, because Sunday, July 3rd, you know, we're fortunate to have a world-class resort right here in Southern Arizona, and the resorts are doing great things for July 3rd to celebrate the 4th. My two picks are the Ritz-Carlton Dove Mountain, a great barbecue buffet, live entertainment, a laser light show. That all starts at 6 p.m. On Sunday, and then Los Ventana Canyon Resort at 6:30. They've got a barbecue and some carnival games and some live music, and of course the rooms, they're pretty much giving them away this time of the year, so make it a package deal and spend the weekend.
It sounds like there'll be a lot of good food and, of course, some adult beverages probably as well.
You can pretty much count on it. And then wrapping up the weekend, Monday, July 4th, which, of course, is my birthday, as some of your listeners might
know. Is it really?
It is. I'm a foodie force kind of guy. The town of Marana does it beautifully with their Star Spangled Spectacular out of the Arizona Pavilions on I-10 and Cortero Road. Great activities for the kids, live music, a beer garden for the adults. That means you, Bill. All kinds of great family fun. I want to do it all here in Southern Arizona, and I'm going to make a really good start starting this afternoon.
Yeah, starting this afternoon after you sleep for about, maybe 12 hours. No, maybe 2 hours. Hey, you got to love Buckmaster Show listeners. You got to love a guy like Matt Russell, born on the 4th of July. Hey, Matt, you have yourself a fantastic weekend. Get some rest, okay, buddy?
I will do it. Have a great weekend, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Coming up on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, and I want to do a big shout out to our hosts over here at KVOI, Doug and Mary Martin. Thank you so much for the great hospitality shown to Team Buckmaster in our first month here with the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. We are very, very delighted to be here. Very, very nice place. Great people, and we thank you all very much. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, the great and lovely producer Rosemary Brandt, the very talented and lovely marketing director Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful, very safe 4th of July weekend. We will be here Monday with another show of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30, KAPR, Douglas. And 1240, KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.